Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin, and I'll be taking you guys through the latest in the world of mixed martial arts. You guys can follow me on Twitter at @MMAdamMartin. This podcast is available, as always, at MMAOddsBreaker.com. Go to our YouTube channel, like, share, subscribe, tell your friends about it. Also, check me out at BJPenn.com and MMARings.net. So, obviously, I'm going to be talking about UFC 243 today, as well as Bellator 229, and a couple of small fight announcements, but I want to just get to this card right away, because it was a good card, and a lot to talk about, so let's get right into it. Main event of the evening, Israel Adesanya defeats Robert Whittaker via knockout in the second round. This was a really good fight. First round, very, very close. I thought Robert Whittaker, honestly, was winning the first round up until the end of it, and he got dropped at the very end by Adesanya. Definitely got hurt there. Second round, more of the same. Adesanya clips Whittaker, knocks him out, wins the UFC Undisputed Middleweight Championship. Just a great performance by Adesanya. This guy is unbelievable. I think he can be the biggest superstar in the sport. I really do. I'm all in on Israel Adesanya. I have been for a while, but I really, really am now after this win. This guy's incredible. And the whole week, just hearing everything he was saying about fighting John Jones, fighting Stipe Miocic, I just love everything I hear from him. 18-0 now in his MMA career, 7-0 in the UFC since starting his UFC career February 2018. So it's been a really quick ride to the top for Israel Adesanya, but this guy is amazing. Obviously, his striking is just pinpoint accurate. So much power behind his strikes. Being a guy like Whittaker the way he did, very impressive. So, yeah, I mean, this guy is going to be a money-making machine, I think, for the UFC for many years to come, whether that's a middleweight, light heavyweight, or whatnot. But I think he's going to be a huge star for the UFC. He's got so much charisma. He's really good in the microphone. He's funny. He's got a great personality. And most of all, he's just a great fighter. So Israel Adesanya, just an amazing talent, one of those rare talents in MMA. I saw Ariel Helwani kind of comparing him to Conor McGregor. I wouldn't say like fighting style wise he is, but like as far as the meteoric rise, yeah, I'd kind of agree with that. It's been so quick to see Adesanya get this far in such a short amount of time. You know, a lot of people probably didn't even know who he was a year and a half ago when he was fighting on the China regional scene and the Australian regional scene. Comes to the UFC, beats Rob Wilkinson in his debut, wins a very close fight against Martin Vettori. Then he has that really breakout performance against Brad Tavares, where he dominated Brad Tavares for 5 rounds, knocks out Derek Brunson, beats Anderson Silva in a great fight, and then beats Calvin Gastelum, one of the best fights of this year, and then, of course, the win over Whittaker. So his 2019, I mean, in my opinion, he was the breakout fighter of 2018 with the 4 wins, but this year, 3 wins over Silva, Gastelum, and Whittaker. I mean, you have to put him in that conversation for Fighter of the Year. He probably is the Fighter of the Year. I can't really think of anyone off the top of my head right now that's up there. So I would definitely consider him the frontrunner for MMA Fighter of the Year. And that's just an incredible feat for this guy. Only 30 years old, so in his prime, I guess undefeated in MMA, we all know that. He has lost a few times in kickboxing, but it's been a while. And everything we've seen in MMA, this guy's going to hold the belt for a long time. So obviously the question is, what's next for him now? And it looks like it's going to be Paulo Costa, and I'm fine with that fight. It's a good fight, no doubt about it. I think a lot of people want to watch that fight. Paulo Costa was in the audience. They were jawing at each other. Israel stuck his middle fingers up. We know that these guys don't like each other. It's a great fight. It is. It's an awesome fight between two undefeated guys. And Paulo Costa, he's a tremendous talent himself, coming off an amazing win over Yoel Romero, where I think he really had a breakthrough performance there himself. Just showed that he can go 3 full hard rounds. I'm not convinced he can go full 25 minutes like Adesanya can, but we'll see what happens if they do end up fighting, which I think is going to happen. But I'll be honest, guys, if it was up to me, I'd want to see Adesanya against John Jones. And I know it's crazy to think about because he really hasn't had any title defenses yet, but I just want to see this fight because I think it's the biggest fight the UFC can make. And I'm a fan of watching big fights. John Jones doesn't have an opponent. John Jones doesn't like Israel Adesanya. Israel Adesanya doesn't like John Jones. So it's the fight I want to see personally. Obviously, it doesn't look like it's going to happen. It looks like Jones is probably going to be fighting another light heavyweight, someone like Blachowicz or Weidman or Reyes. But come on, guys. Like, what fight would you rather see? Those guys? And don't get me wrong, those are all good fighters. And I guess they have a chance against Jones. Anyone really does. But I think Adesanya, if anyone out there right now, besides moving to heavyweight where maybe Stipe could give Jones a run for his money or Nagano or someone like that, I think anyone at 185 or 205 that could really give problems to Jones, it's Adesanya. So I want to see that fight. I don't think it's going to happen now. It looks like it's going to be Adesanya and Costa. And Jones, I don't know who's going to fight. Maybe the winner, Weidman Reyes. That looks like the front runner for John Jones' next fight. But it's the fight I want to see. If I was the UFC, I'd give high consideration to it. You know, I know it's crazy. You obviously would have an undefeated guy, Adesanya, moving up a weight class after no defenses. But is it really that crazy? It's not like it's the first time that's happened. And even look back at Max Holloway. And Max is an amazing fighter, obviously, and a long undefeated streak as well at featherweight. And then two title defenses, that's the only two, and moved up to lightweight to fight Poirier for the interim belt. So it's not like this is completely unprecedented. Again, he probably has to fight Costa and then maybe Cannonier or Till or someone like that. But if you ask me, if the UFC is truly about booking the biggest fights, and I think they're trying to sell part of the company at the moment, they want to have big fights. Adesanya versus John Jones, that's the biggest fight the UFC can make at the moment. You know, they've passed on big fights in the past, like GSP and Silva, that never happened. GSP Conor McGregor, for some reason, never happened. GSP Habib, that doesn't look like it might happen. Who knows with that one? But I feel like they'd be making a mistake if they didn't even consider this fight. I think Adesanya Jones is the biggest fight the UFC could make. Again, I don't think it's probably going to happen. I do believe it's going to be Costa versus Adesanya, and Jones will fight someone else like Reyes, like Weidman, someone like that. But if you want to move the needle, you do Adesanya versus John Jones. And honestly, I think it could break the pay-per-view record. I think it's that big of a fight. I do believe Adesanya has that star potential and star power. Imagine he beats John Jones. I think he could be the guy to beat John Jones. So we'll see what happens here. Again, I'm fully expecting the Costa fight to be announced for an early card in 2020 in Vegas. 2020 in Vegas. And then John Jones, maybe they could fight the same card. I mean, you could do that. Imagine they stacked the deck and did Adesanya and Jones on the same card, but in different fights. And that would really set up a potential matchup in the future. But anyways, either way, I'm excited to see Adesanya's title reign. I think it will be a long reign. I think he could be like the Anderson Silva of this division and hold the belt for a long time. So we'll see what happens. But I'm excited about the future of this middleweight division. And before I want to talk about the next fight, I should talk about Whitaker here. The guy's a great sport, though. You know, he released a really classy statement after the fight, just giving Adesanya props, saying, you know, he was the better man. I got knocked out. It was a fight between two strikers. He caught me. I got knocked out. I'll be back. He will be back. You know, you can't forget what this guy did before that loss to Adesanya. The wins over Romero, Souza, Brunson. He had a nice run. 9 straight wins, 8 straight wins at middleweight. 81 record middleweight. So great record. He's still one of the top three guys in that division. A lot of people are saying maybe a trilogy fight with Romero. I'm fine with that. It'd be good. You know, Romero coming off a loss, Whitaker coming off a loss. Why not? But you could also do the loser of Gastelum and Till. Gastelum obviously is a fight that we didn't see. We kind of robbed that fight earlier this year, but I think that'd be a really good fight. So there's a lot of good fights for Rob Whitaker. He's only 28. He's very young still. So he's got a lot of time left in this sport. Even Adesanya admitted that he does believe that he will have a rematch with Rob Whitaker one day. I don't think anytime soon. I think Rob's probably going to have to win at least one fight, if not two fights, if not three fights, because there's a couple other guys in line right now at 185, but he's not that far away, because that division, it's a good division, don't get me wrong, but there's some inconsistent guys at the top of the weight class right now. So Whitaker, couple wins, he could be right there. So great fighter. He was, I wouldn't say he was a great champion. I mean, let's be honest, he didn't even defend his belt by any means. So he had the one fight with Romero. He was an interim champ when he had the fight with him. It was a non-title fight as well because Romero missed weight. I guess if you want to count that as title defense, I'm okay with that, I guess. But officially, it's not. So I wouldn't say he had a great title reign by any means, but I do think he is a very solid fighter, and he represents the sport really well. So, you know, Rob Whitaker, unfortunately, gets knocked out here, loses his belt, but he'll be back. I wouldn't count Robert Whitaker out just yet. He's very young. All right, so let's get through the rest of the card here. Lightweight bout in the co-main event. Dan Hooker defeats Ally Quinta. Lopsided decision here, 30-27 times 2 and 30-26. Yeah, I did pick Ally Quinta in this one. I should mention I picked Adesanya, obviously. Yeah, overall, I went 8-3, so I had a solid night of picks. I made a couple of good picks. There's a few upsets that I'll talk about in a second here. But, Hooker looked good in this fight. I thought Ally Quinta would be a little bit more technical than him, but he just really couldn't get the job done. He just got beat to the punch and beat to the kick. I mean, Hooker just pretty much wiped the floor with him on the feet. And I was a little surprised by that. I thought Ally Quinta would have more success. He did land a few good punches at points in that second round, but he also got dropped too, which really hurt him. He basically needed to finish in the third round. I think he was going to win that second up until basically the end of it, but he got dropped and that hurt him bad as far as the judges go. So loses a lopsided decision here. Ally Quinta lost 3 of his last 4 fights. I do think he's still a top 10 guy, but clearly needs to get a win in his next fight if he wants to maintain that ranking. But for Dan Hooker, I mean, this is his breakout performance, right? So 29 years old, this guy's been around the UFC for 5 years now, won 6 of 7 fights, is moving up to lightweight. You can't forget that loss at Barboza, though. I think people are forgetting about that. I mean, he got absolutely destroyed by Edson Barboza last year. And I think that showed that if he does fight the elite level guys, he can lose. So I'm excited about Dan Hooker. Don't get me wrong. This guy is awesome to watch. Almost all of his wins are by stoppage. Very exciting guy. Well-rounded. Good striking. Good ground game. But the striking defense does bother me. I think he can get knocked out by high level guys. And, you know, he called up Poirier after this fight. I think that's a sensible matchup. Poirier seems very fixated on Conor McGregor. I guess that's the fight UFC could be looking at. But I think Hooker versus Poirier makes a lot of sense. And, you know, he said five rounds in New Zealand as a main event. That's perfect fight to me. So I would do that matchup from the UFC, Dan Hooker versus Poirier. I think it makes a lot of sense. And then I'd give Conor McGregor someone else like Cerrone or Gaethje personally. But we'll see what happens with that. But, yeah, there's no doubt that Dan Hooker looked good in this fight, and it was a breakup reform for him in front of a lot of his home near to his home country fans. All right, big upset here. Heavyweight bout, Sergey Spivak versus Tai Tuivasa. Spivak wins via second-round arm triangle choke. Wow, I'm not surprised. I mean, I did say in the podcast that I would not bet on Tuivasa, and I said it's not the worst thing in the world to throw a few bucks on Spivak, and people thought I was crazy, but look what happens. Tai Tuivasa is just a very overrated fighter. He's not getting better. He's getting worse. He's one of those guys that just is not developing properly. He's only 26, so he's very young still, but if I'm the UFC, I'm cutting him. I don't think he's a UFC caliber fighter. I truly don't believe he is. I know that they're desperate for heavyweights, and this guy has knockout power, but last three fights, he's looked really bad. This fight is a very, very poor representation of him. It looked like he didn't train for the fight. As soon as he got taken down, he looked like a fish out of water on his back. He got taken down so many times by Spivak, who got smashed in like a minute by Walt Harris in his debut. Spivak, he did look good in this fight. He pretty much dominated the fight. So good for him to get that win and obviously save his job. But I don't think he's got that high of a ceiling in the sport. So to me, this is just more Tuivasa just looking awful. I think a lot of people think he's going to get cut. I think there's a good chance he could get another fight because, again, he is a popular guy in that part of the world. But he needs more development. He needs to get better. So if I'm the UFC, I'm letting him go, and then he can go fight on the regional scene back in Australia, get some more wins. Maybe they put him in like a contender series. I don't know. Maybe he goes to Bellator. I don't know. That's the one thing, though. If they let him go, maybe Bellator signs him. He becomes someone good, like just fighting low-level guys in Bellator's heavyweight division. But, yeah, I'm not impressed by Tai Tuivasa. Three straight losses now, 3-3 in the UFC. Best win, obviously, over Andrei Arlovsky, but even Andrei Arlovsky is, at this point in his career, not very good fighter. So, yeah, Tuivasa, I think that could be a firm and Spivak. Good win, but I don't see a huge ceiling for this guy, although I could be wrong because he did look pretty good in this fight. He's fairly young. I think he's 24, so fairly young fighter in the heavyweight division. Next up, Diego Lima defeats Luke Jumo via split decision. I don't know about this one. 29-28, crazy, crazy, crazy decision here. This should have been a unanimous decision. I thought Lima won every round. This wasn't really a close fight. He just pretty much outpointed Luke Jumo on the feet. He should have won 30-27, at least 29-28 on the scorecard. So that's crazy. There was a split. It's funny because Daniel Cormier was like, oh, this fight could be close. And everyone was like, no, he's wrong. And then look what happened. So Diego Lima, good for him. Three straight wins now. Pretty much saved his job. He's really struggled in the UFC over the years. He's overall 4-4 in the UFC. So actually he's 4-5, excuse me. So he's still got a losing record in the UFC, but three straight wins now, good for him. So Diego Lima saved his job here again, and second straight split decision win. So should have been unanimous, but either way, he's going to be in the UFC for a while. For Luke Jumo, it's another one of the situations like Tuivasa, just has struggled 2-2 in the UFC, but because they go to that part of the world, they might keep him around for more fight. He probably does get one more because it looks like they will do that New Zealand card next year. I would venture to guess Luke Jumo would be in that card. And opening up the main card, Jorgen De Castro wins via knockout, walkaway knockout over Justin Taffer, just 2 minutes and 10 seconds into the fight. An incredible performance by De Castro. I'm very impressed by this guy. He looked amazing on the contender series. Now he looks incredible against Taffer. Huge knockout win. I'm very impressed by De Castro. I think he's a sleeper in the heavyweight division. I'm not saying he's going to be a champion one day or a contender or anything like that, but in the heavyweight division, you have knockout power like this guy does, you can go far. So I was very impressed by him. Taffer gets the loss here, loses his undefeated record, but he'll be back. They need heavyweights. He only has one loss, so he'll be on that card next year again in that part of the world. But for De Castro, you know, I'm curious to see who they give him next. I think you could just do Spivak versus Castro. That's kind of what I'm thinking they do. They're both on similar timetables. I think it would be a good fight, but maybe they'll give him someone higher rank and just see if he can break into the top 15. All right, prelims, let's go through them real quickly here. Jake Matthews defeats Rostam Akman via unanimous decision, 30-27 across the board. Not much to see about this fight. It wasn't a great fight. Actually, it was a pretty boring fight, let's be honest here. It wasn't a good fight at all. But Matthews gets the win. Akman now 0-2 in the UFC. He might get released. Maybe he gets one more fight on a European card, but he hasn't not looked that great. And next up, wow, I was surprised by this one. This fight, all the fights in the card, this one really surprised me. Callum Potter defeats Patolo via unanimous decision, 29-28 across the board. I thought Patolo for sure would win this fight. I think a lot of people did. A lot of people were putting him in their parlays, and he loses. So very surprising to me after that win in his contender series fight that he loses to Callum Potter, who I think he should have beaten. Potter is a guy that's kind of chinny and lost it by knockout in quick fashion to Jalen Turner in his UFC debut. And he goes out there and pretty much just wrestles Patolo and grinds him out. So good win for Potter, man. He saved his job. But for Patolo, I think it's a very disappointing performance. So this guy has got to work on his takedown defense. His cardio didn't look very good either. He's one of those guys, I feel like if he doesn't knock you out in the first round, he could lose just by cardio alone. So I still like him. I still think he's got some good striking. He showed some good strikes in this fight. And to Potter's credit, he took some big shots. But yeah, you know, Patolo really needs to work on his game. All right, next up. Oh, man, what a fight. Lightweight bout between Brad Riddle and Jamie Mullarkey. An incredible matchup. Brad Riddle wins via unanimous decision, 29-27, 30-26, 30-26. This was an amazing fight, one fight of the night. I don't think anyone would have guessed with fight of the night. I did say it would be a good fight, but I didn't think it would be fight of the night. So just an amazing performance by both guys. Unbelievable, really, the shots these guys took. I can't believe that fight wasn't stopped in the third round. I think a lot of people thought the same thing. Mullarkey was taking so much damage, and the referee just let him continue the bell. So incredible performance. Both guys very deserving of that money. And Brad Riddle says after the fight he wants to fight UFC 245 in Vegas. And I was actually did an article for BJ Penn yesterday, a matchmaking article, fantasy matchmaker, playing matchmaker. And I think he should fight Tristan Connolly. Connolly coming off that fight of the night win over Michelle Pereira. He says he wants to fight UFC 245 in Vegas. You got two guys, they're lightweights. Connolly going to move back down to lightweight. They both want to fight in Vegas. Do that fight. That'd be an incredible matchup. I would love to see Riddle versus Connolly. I think that could be another fight of the night. Also on the prelims, Megan Anderson defeats Zara Farron dos Santos via triangle choke. I mean, good for Anderson, but like dos Santos is not really a UFC caliber fighter, so good for her. She saved her job again, you know, 2-2 down the UFC. And obviously, she has potential. She's a big, big girl for that division. And we've seen her striking now. We see her ground game. But the opponent she had here was not a very good fighter. So I'd slow my roll on Megan Anderson as a contender, but definitely it was a good performance by her. In the prelims, the early prelims on Fight Pass, we had two catchweight bouts. Jeon Kim defeats Nadia Kassim via knockout, and Khalid Taha defeats Bruno Silva via arm triangle choke in the third round. Both fighters had really good performances. Kim looked good, Taha looked good, but they both missed weight. So that kind of, I think, puts an asterisk beside them. Obviously, they're both ineligible to win a bonus as well. So, they both look good, but missed weight. So we've got to make weight. So overall, I think it was a pretty solid card. There was a few fights, I think, that dragged on a little bit in the prelims, maybe like the Matthews fight. But overall, and the Lima fight as well. But overall, it was a very good card. There was a lot of good fights, and I was very excited about it going in, and it turned out to be a pretty good card. So it breaks the record, 57,000 people in attendance. Really good card. I have a bunch of articles over at BJ Penn from the post-fight press conference. You guys should check out. There's some good stuff there, like Adesanya ripping apart EA Sports for saying he looks like Chad Mendes in the video game. I thought that was hilarious. And a couple other things like DC analyzing a potential Jones versus Adesanya fight. So some good stuff there at bjpenn.com if you want to check that out. A bunch of news articles there. All right, let's talk about Bellator 229. You know, there were some upsets on this card, I guess. I shouldn't say some upsets. There was one really big one, main event. Larkin defeats Korshkov via split decision. Really close fight. Good fight. I thought Larkin won too. I even said in the podcast, you know, don't completely count him out. I know he hasn't looked good in Bellator, but stylistically, it was a good fight for him against Korshkov. So it's going to be two strikers, and Larkin landed the bigger shots, gets the decision. So he wins a split, 28-29, 29-28, 29-28. Huge win over Korshkov, who only had three losses in his career. So Korshkov struggled a little bit lately, but still a big win for Larkin. And, you know, it's a little surprising he wasn't that welterweight tournament when you think about it. But, you know, perhaps maybe he could fight the winner of Douglas Lima and Rory McDonald. Who knows? Or maybe just one more win, he's there. Next up, Goiti Yamauchi defeats Sadawad via verbal submission in the first round. Armbar, nice performance here by Yamauchi. This guy is a very good fighter, 26 years old, very young, and a lot of wins at Bellator. So he's a contender in the lightweight division, and I'd like to see him fight for the belt at some point, but obviously Pitbull's a little busy right now with that featherweight tournament. Next up, Kerry Melendez defeats Mandy Polk via decision, 30-27 across the board. Yeah, Melendez looked good, but again, look who she fought. Mandy Polk's not a very good fighter, so Melendez, she wants Bellator to make a women's strawweight division. Maybe they do, maybe they don't, I don't know, but hopefully she can fight someone a little bit better next fight, because she's been fighting fighters that are below her level right now, and you know, she's getting the wins, but it'd be nice to see her fight someone higher level. And opening up that card, the main card, a great fight between Tony Johnson and Joe Schilling. Tony Johnson wins via third round knockout, brutal fashion, just completely flatlined Joe Schilling, caught him good, and Joe Schilling got knocked out cold. So amazing performance here by Tony Johnson, huge win for him. UFC passed on this guy. They said he was too old. Dana said, "You're too old. I don't want guys that are old." Bad decision. This guy's a good fighter. Very solid fighter. Trains at AKA. He hasn't lost in 7 years. He's a very good fighter. I'm excited to see what Tony Johnson does in Bellator. I think that was a nice signing by Rich Chow there, a former Strikeforce guy, so they knew who he was. And he looked really good in this fight. So Tony Johnson gets a big win over Joe Schilling, who drops to 4-6 in his career. He's not a great MMA fighter, but I do expect him to continue fighting in Bellator because he's an exciting guy, win or lose. So he'll continue fighting, but clearly he had more success in kickboxing than he has in MMA. Also, just some prelims here. Anatoly Tokov wins, Salid Mukhinov wins, and also Derek Anderson wins. And then there was this guy, Joey Davis. That was a big win for him. Wins by flying knee in 1 minute. So there were some good performances in this card, but a lot of people didn't see them with that post-limb stuff. It's kind of weird. But there is another Bellator card this weekend. I'll talk about that later in the week. That's Bellator 230. So that should be an interesting card. There's some good fights in that one. But like Carvalho and Nemkov. But I'll talk about that later in the week. That's in Italy. And apparently Fedor will be there. And Scott Coker is going to talk to him about his next fight. So that should be interesting. We'll definitely get some news there about Fedor. All right, a couple of fight announcements. And then I'll get out of here. I obviously talked a lot there about UFC 243 and Bellator 229. So let's do a few fight announcements and then I'll end the show. So UFC Singapore gets another fight here. Rafael Fiziev takes on Alex White. That card's coming up very quickly. I feel like there's been a bunch of short notice fights booked for that. A little strange, but some solid fights here. So Fiziev, 26 years old, Kyrgyzstan fighter. He lost by knockout to Magomed Mustafayev earlier this year. Brutal knockout. He got kicked right in the head with a spinning back kick, and then he got finished. So I think he's a good fighter, but, man, that was a brutal knockout loss. So he should hopefully bounce back here against Alex White, who has been very inconsistent in the UFC. I feel like the UFC is almost doing a favor by giving him another fight because this guy has just not looked great in the UFC. He is coming off a win over Dan Moret, so, you know, it's hard to cut a guy coming off a loss. But overall, he's 4-5 in the UFC, so very inconsistent. I feel like it's a must-win fight for Alex White here, but we'll see what happens. And the other new fight is a women's strawweight belt between, flyweight belt between Veronica Macedo and Amanda Lemos. Veronica Macedo, she's another fighter that just saved her job in her last fight, gets that submission win over Pollyanna Viana. She had lost 3 straight fights before that, so good for her. And she takes on Amanda Lemos in South Korea here. Lemos, she's 6-1-1 in her career. She got knocked out by Leslie Smith in her UFC debut 2 years ago, has not fought since then. So interesting matchmaking here, I guess. Kind of weird that you're going to have a Venezuelan fighter against a Brazilian in South Korea, but at this point, I don't even know why they book some of the fights they do. But I don't know. It's hard to say. I mean, Lemos, she had some good wins before that, but you know, Veronica Macedo has fought more often, and she's a lot younger. So I guess I'd have to lean towards her. I'm going to double check and see if I missed anything, but I have obviously talked quite a bit about all the fights. So yeah, I think I'm going to end the show for now, but I'll be back obviously tomorrow breaking down whatever else happens in the world of MMA. Also, I should mention that myself and Cole Shelton will be back tomorrow previewing UFC Tampa, which takes place this Saturday. That's the Joanna and Watterson card. It should be a decent card. There's some good fights in my card. I think there's 14 fights, so it's a crazy card. A lot of fights, but yeah, it should be good. Oh, here I have a comment here. Hello, Adam. Do you think Tudeza threw down the fight? I don't think he threw the fight, man. I just don't think he's got a good ground game. Clearly got exposed with his wrestling. He's just been exposed lately everywhere, to be honest with you. The JDS fight, he got exposed with the striking. Even the last fight with Ivanov, he got hit quite a bit and got dropped a couple times too. So this guy, he's just not a great fighter, man. I mean, I think that's what it is. I don't think he threw the fight. I don't think he did. I mean, maybe he did bet on Spivak. I doubt it, though. But yeah, I just don't think he's a great fighter. But again, we'll see what happens. Maybe the UFC keeps him around. I think he should get cut, but maybe he gets more fight. Maybe he's just like, you know what, you're a popular guy, we'll keep you around for one more. But to me, he's just not a UFC caliber guy, and he hasn't gotten better. So appreciate the comment. I always appreciate the questions, guys. But anyways, that's it for today. I appreciate you guys tuning in as always to the podcast. So I'll be back tomorrow. Like I mentioned, check me out at bjpenn.com, MMArings.net, and of course here at MMAoddsbreaker.com. That's my home. That's the home of the podcast. Love doing the podcast with you guys. Appreciate you tuning in. youtube.com/MMAoddsbreaker. Like, share, subscribe, tell your friends about it. Okay, guys. Thanks for tuning in today. I'll be back tomorrow. Have a good one. Bye.